Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has said, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And he will, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. God, we thank you today. Holy King, that you are risen, that you are no longer dead, but you are alive, that you bore the transgressions, but today you see victory. In your mighty name, amen. The words that I just read out, as you saw there, were from Isaiah 53, 700 years before Jesus, those were written. 700 years, God, through Isaiah, prophesied the death, resurrection, and victory of Jesus. Today, we celebrate the single most important moment in human history. Now, there's probably an argument that it could be creation, but I would argue maybe equal first, the single most important moment in human history. On Good Friday, we celebrated the sin of the world being laid on Jesus at his death. And that in him taking that on, we were rescued from the just punishment that we deserved. But today, we celebrate the resurrection. Today is not a sad day. Today is a happy day. That's why we left the decorations up, all right? Today is a happy day. That the single most important moment in human history, and we're going to unpack that. Today we're celebrating the resurrection, and if you were with us on Friday, I talked about the week that was from Palm Sunday to Good Friday. So we're going to talk about the few days that were from Good Friday to Resurrection Sunday and what happened. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 27, and this is what happened on earth, right, whilst Jesus was dead. Verse 50 through to 66 says, when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance, and they had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, who was in charge at the time, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was alive, that the deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he's been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. What we see here is four things that happen whilst Jesus is dead. The first one is mourning. See, whilst Jesus had predicted his resurrection, there was a sense of sadness across all of those that had followed him, because quite a few of them were expecting Jesus to overthrow the government of the time. And so with Jesus being dead, they're mourning and they're sad. So we see particularly Mary Magdalene sitting across the tomb and just being so upset that Jesus is dead. But we also see the dead raised to life. We see that the dead are raised to life because of their faith, because they believed in Jesus coming. And so at that moment, they're raised to life. We also see the devil attempting to hide his loss by discrediting Jesus and his disciples. See, those guards, those Pharisees that went to Pilate and they said, "Hey, you know, you got to be careful. You got to put someone there. Make sure that he doesn't get taken out." That was the devil already lost, getting in their ear to say, "Hey, we got to discredit Jesus." Joseph of Arimathea, just as it was prophesied, buried with the rich and the poor alike, takes Jesus' body and lays it in the tomb. We don't have a really clear picture of what happened on Saturday. It's not spoken about, but we can imagine that that's a pretty big day of mourning. It's a pretty easy assumption to make, right? If one of your friends dies, probably the next day you're pretty upset about it. What happened in the spirit realm whilst Jesus was dead? There's three prevailing theories from Scripture of what happened in the spirit realm. Maybe one of them's right, maybe all three are right. The first is that Jesus' spirit went to heaven. This comes from Jesus speaking to the person that he's crucified next to and says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." The second theory is that Jesus' spirit proclaimed to the spirits in prison that he went to hell, and that he proclaimed to those in hell that the victory was won. This comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, and the spirits in prison are believed to either be fallen angels or the dead. And the third theory is that Jesus' spirit went into Abraham's bosom to take those from heaven, which is what we just read. The dead rising to life because they believed in Jesus. But what we know for certain is that Jesus' physical body lay dead in the tomb. His physical body completely bereft of life, dead in the tomb. Wrapped in linen, marred. But his spirit was alive. As we all know, when we die in the physical, our spirit remains alive. The Bible's really clear about it. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 through to 15 says, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. And this is what Meg read earlier. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that who you are looking for, Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. What we see here is Jesus' spirit, whilst away from his body for the Friday night, through the Saturday and the Sunday and the Saturday night, Jesus' spirit is now back in his body. His body is now raised back to life again, his physical body. We also see that there is no more mourning. We see that whilst there's fear from Mary and the disciples, that the mourning stops and that the celebration begins. And so today, the mourning stops for us and the celebration begins. Amen? We also see that the devil is still attempting to discredit Jesus even after he has already lost. What does that tell you about Jesus? Tells you he's a sore loser. Amen? Oh, sorry, not Jesus. Hey, you're going to stuff something up? You better do it on Easter Sunday when there's lots of guests here. Awesome, great. What does it tell you about the devil? He's a sore loser. We're going to cut that from the live stream. We need those radio buttons where you can just skip back 7 seconds. All right, sweet. I said earlier that this is the single most important moment in human history. Why? See, if you don't know, let me explain just very quickly that sin entered the world with Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve, they sinned against God by doing what they were told not to do. When sin entered humankind, death entered with it. And so, before then there was no death, but after, we're all cursed to be living in sin and to die. And now it's easy to blame Adam and Eve, but let's face it, if they didn't do it, one of us would have. Huh? We all know that we're sinners. We all know that we're not perfect. And so the just punishment for that sin is death. See, when Jesus, if sin and death go hand in hand, Jesus had to be victorious over both. He had to be. If Jesus was fully victorious over sin on the cross, taking all of the just deserved punishment that we earned on him and was victorious over sin, he also then had to be victorious over death as well. the sickness and the symptom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul puts it like this. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he has raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sin. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are all of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Paul says it so much more eloquently than I can. And also he doesn't stuff it up. So, you know, it's good. Paul says our faith is literally useless without the resurrection. The new sinless life that we live is only made available by Christ's death and resurrection. There's no Christianity without the resurrection. This is the single most important moment in human history, is that we no longer have to face death. We no longer have to face death because the sin, the sickness of death has been conquered. Amen? How good is a message that says the only thing that humanity has never been able to conquer, death, has been conquered? How great. I suggest you read the rest of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians this week, because it's awesome, but we don't have time for it. Here's the best part for me. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 14. It's just before what Veronica read out before. Don't you know that all of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? What that means there is that all who have chosen Jesus as their Lord and Savior, all who have said, yes, I'll follow you, God. I'll follow you, Jesus. I believe in you. Don't you know that you were baptized into his death? You joined him in death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we'll certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this. Wow. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin may be done away with. That is, that we and this mortal body that we have would be done. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. And in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin and alive in God in Christ Jesus. Wow. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you may obey its evil desires. Don't offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. We all, me included, we all have these things about ourselves we don't like. Maybe they're habits, maybe they're addictions, maybe they're just honest mistakes. But we've all fallen short, and we all know we have. But that is no longer our master. Because you do not live under the law, but under grace. Jesus took all of that punishment on the cross and defeated it in the grave. I hope today that you see the importance of the resurrection. Or if you already had a really big importance of the resurrection, that it's renewed in you. That you are so excited about the resurrection. I hope today that you also see the power of the resurrection, that it's renewed in you. That you can see that now you don't have to be bound by the sin that you hate so much. You don't have to be bound by that, but instead you get to live like Christ, victorious. What now? What does all of this mean? Why should I care? Today, what I want to lead you towards, and the whole purpose of reading out so much scripture, what I want you to know is to have faith, to believe that Jesus is alive, both in spirit and in physical body. Not only is he alive, but he has power over death and therefore all other things. So whatever you're going through in your life, Jesus has power over it. Amen? Sin brought death, and Jesus conquered sin and therefore death, finalizing his victory. So today, we're going to declare in his power victory over sin in our lives. Victory over those things that we don't like about ourselves. Victory over those circumstances. But we're also going to celebrate a thankfulness that because of his victory, we've been guaranteed eternal life. Amen? We're going to bow our eyes, I need more coffee. No? Good thing it's free this, it's awesome. God, we thank you that today we get to celebrate that you are no longer dead and in the grave, that Jesus, you have risen from the dead and you have conquered sin and death, both in spirit and in the mortal body. Lord, we thank you so much for that sacrifice that you made, and we celebrate the victory that you won over death. God, we pray today that you would renew in us a faith that would be so big, so powerful, that we can take on anything that you put on our hearts. God, we thank you today. In your mighty name, amen.